In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Amen. Right. Tonight is a short one. Oh. Alright. Tonight is a long one. Is that better? Hallelujah. Right. I have been sharing with you about demons in the church. Amen. And we talked about, I think we read from Luke chapter 8 and verse 27, sorry. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. It says, when he came out onto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons and had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house but in the tombs. Okay, now can someone change? Give me my version, the King James Version. I don't know why you changed it. But same thing, isn't it? A man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Amen. Now, in talking about demons, we're talking about three common effects of evil spirits. And one of them is on how people appear. Another one is that they cannot settle or abide in any house. Do you understand? And this second one in particular, I think should be of great interest to you. Amen? Because the devil understands that your future is connected to staying in God's house. Amen. He understands that your future is connected to staying in the house. He knows that as long as you're in the house, he doesn't have a certain kind of access to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And he knows that there is a lot of good in store for you in the house of God. There is a lot of good in store for anyone who makes it a point to remain in the house of the Lord. Yesterday I was sharing with you from Psalm 65 and verse 4, where the Bible says, blessed is the man. You know, he said, your blessing starts from when God chooses you and causes you to approach unto him. Do you see? Said, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. You know, do you have the Amplified translation of the Bible? You have it, right? Look at the meaning of the word blessed. It says, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Do you understand that? Yeah. Not bothered, irritated, and unfortunate. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a shame that for some people going to church is a chore. It's a bother. They can't wait for it to finish. A lot of people don't have anything to do after church, really. It's just that they don't think that church must last so long. You see? But if you change the word, if you change the word from church, just don't call it a church. Just say time in the presence of God. How long do you think it should last? Yeah, you think about it that way. Forget about the word church, because church sounds like you're going to the supermarket. It's just a place. Do you understand? Yeah. But as long as you continue to see church as just a place, you don't value the time that you spend there. But if you were to consider it as the house of God, the presence of God, time spent before the Lord, then you ask yourself, how long should that time be? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Says, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man whom you choose and cause to come near that he may dwell in your courts. Then it says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. Hallelujah. So your future is bright in the house of God. God intends that you enjoy and be satisfied with the goodness of your house, his house. Hallelujah. And the devil understands that. And that is why he would like often to displace people. Do you understand? In the Bible, we read the story of the prodigal son. Now, the prodigal son wanted to live a certain life, which was not possible when he was at home. A certain way of wasting and destroying his life could not happen while he was at home. And so the devil had to trick him to get out of the house. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Take him out of the house. Once he was taken out of the house, then he could now work on him. Hallelujah. So you will notice, if you go back to Luke, you will notice that one of the strategies that the devil deploys when he's working on people is isolation. Isolation. That the man could not live, Luke 8:27, he had devils long time, and he wore no clothes, neither dwelt he in any house, but in the tombs. Do you understand? He says, he lived not in a house, but in the tombs, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Now, a tomb is a cemetery. A place where there are people, but none of them can talk. Do you understand that? There are a lot of people in the cemetery. So many different ages, different names, different ethnic origins. So many different people in the cemetery. The only thing is that none of them can talk. None of them can make a comment about anything you're doing. Do you understand? None of them gossips. Do you understand? Yeah. None of them. So you think about it. You think that you are getting away from the house to go to the place where no one talks about you. And yet, who do you think is leading you there? You see, you have to understand this, that there are some, even if the devil appears to you and offers you something good, you judge what you're being offered by who is offering it, not by what is being offered. Are you getting what I'm saying? So even if you have finished fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and you desperately want to eat, and someone comes to you and says, make stones into bread, you shouldn't be so taken in by the prospect of bread that you don't consider who is asking you to make the bread. Do you understand? That just because it is bread, and you have been fasting and are hungry, it sounds like a good thing. Do you understand? But the eventual outcome of eating that bread actually depends on who is offering the bread. And not just that you did eat bread. Do you see what I'm saying? So my point here is that the devil, one of the strategies of demons, is to drive people to a place where nobody is involved with your business. Do you understand? Yeah. All of us. us need people in our business. Isolation is one of the tricks of the devil, just to catch people by themselves so that he can execute his plans for your life. Because when people are in a community, you know, like this man, he was naked. And the reason why he was naked and nobody was talking about it was all the people who could talk about his nakedness were dead. Do you understand? All the people who could help him, who could say something about how he was dressed, they were all non-talkers. Are you following what I'm saying? When you meet someone who says, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Nobody should talk my business. No one should say anything about me. No one should advise me. When you start talking like that, I want to suggest to you highly that you are being influenced by evil spirits. Yeah. See, life, nobody is meant to live alone. Do you understand? Even on the day you are born, don't you? By the time you arrive, the room is full of people. Isn't it? Yeah. And usually when you die, a lot of people, even those who haven't spoken to you in a long time, they come and say bye-bye. So if the beginning is a community and the end is also the community, then what about the middle? Do you understand? What about after being born to when you die? Do you see? By the time you appear, you're born, there are people surrounding your life, none of whom you invited, but they are there. Do you understand? If they had even told you they would be there, you would have covered yourself when you were arriving. Do you see what I'm saying? But nobody gives you any notice. You arrive and your life is surrounded by people. So you can't go on in life expecting that no one, or you would need no counsel, no advice, no input from anyone. You are making a big mistake. Hallelujah. Everybody needs input from others. Do you understand? Everybody needs input from others. Yesterday we were looking at the verse in Ephesians that talked about that which every joint supplies. Do you remember that verse? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Do you understand? It says, that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Then it says, it maketh increase unto the body. It maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. See, this verse explains to us how to have increase, how to make progress, how to advance. And the Bible says it in, you know, for you to experience effectual working, you know, in every part of the body, the joints, the connections have to supply something. Amen. When you meet someone who says, I don't need you, the person doesn't know what they're talking about. Do you understand? When you say, you meet someone who says, I don't care about you, you really don't know what you're talking about. I need you and you need me. And it doesn't have to feel that way to be true. Do you see what I'm saying? It doesn't have to feel that way to be true. For the enemy to be able to access your life and to destroy it, he needs to catch you by yourself. He needs to find you alone. Hallelujah. Yeah. He needs to find you alone. Because it is when you are alone that he can tell you a lot of things. When the devil catches you by yourself, he can tell you a lot of things. Yeah. He can lie to you. He can speak to you. Until even you hate yourself. Yeah. He can tell you a lot of things about you. He can just relay every error, every mistake in the past to you. Do you understand? He can just play back your life and play it back like a video to you. And as you sit there, just you by yourself, you with you, you versus you. Hey! It is not an easy thing. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? That is why God sets the lonely in families. You cannot be in a family and still be alone. Do you get it? If you're in a family and you are still alone, then you are defeating the purpose of being set in a family. Because if it was okay to be alone, God would have left you alone. And when you start reading the Bible, you don't go too far before you meet the verse that says, it is not good that a man should be alone. That has not changed. Do you understand? It is not good that a man should be alone. It is not good that a man should be alone. It is not good that a man should be alone. It is not good that a man should be alone. It is not good that somebody should be alone. It is not good. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you? Some of you cannot make friends. Yeah, everybody that becomes your friend, you fight with the person. Yeah. It's because you do not understand the purpose. You don't understand that people are joints that supply to your effectual working so that you can increase and advance. But every person that God puts in your life, you fight with them. You quarrel with them. Very soon, you see, best friends cannot stand each other anymore. Yeah. But just remember, you see, that verse I was just quoting to you is a verse that is often quoted in relation to marriage. So a large percentage of people actually skip the benefit of that verse because they assume that it's just talking about marriage. But God was stating a principle. The principle is that it is not good that a man should be alone. Do you understand? It is not good that a man should be alone. And when God was talking about that, he had made a lot of animals and so on. So obviously, if you have a lot of animals around you, you are still alone. How many understand what I'm saying? Yes. It is not good. In my country, they have some type of life they call it, I walk alone. Some people, they walk alone. It's like they don't have any friend. You cannot make a friend. You cannot keep a relationship. You get it. You don't have anybody in your life. You go to work and come back home all by yourself, live by yourself. Even when people want to relate with you, you are not friendly. Yeah? Even people want to relate with you. Somebody wants to go out of their way to be your friend, and you just cut them off. You just cut them off. You cannot make a friend. Someone is trying to befriend you. You just won't talk. You see some people, you can travel with them or be with them in a car. So they won't talk. They won't talk. Yes. They will not say anything about anything. You are going to the tomb. Isolation is a work of demons. It is one of the long-term effects of demons on people's lives. It says the man had devils a long time, and three effects. It affected his dressing, it affected his stability at home, and then it affected, you know, his ability to socialize. He cannot be with people. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, I want you to understand something tonight, that God never meant for you to be alone. Hallelujah. Community is valuable. When you're with people, it is valuable. The Bible says the body is compacted together. Compact means made solid. Do you understand? By that which every joint supplies. Everybody's life ought to be a product of many different joints having supplied different things to your life. That is how your body functions. Do you understand? See, let me show you a verse. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. This verse, Luke 16 and verse 12. Are you bringing it? Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Look at this. Look at this. He says, "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's." Did you see that?
Yes.
He says, "You have not been faithful in that which is another man's." Then he says, "Who shall give you that which is your own?" Now look at this verse carefully. Did you see that he said it's your own?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Did you see that he said it's your own?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
But did you also see that even though it's your own, it has to be given to you?
That's right.
Which means even though it's your own, it's not with you.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That not everything that belongs to your life is with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't understand, just raise your hand. I'll just say it again. I'm saying that the verse says, "Who shall give you that which is your own?" Means that some things that are your own are not with you. It means they are with somebody else. Do you understand? There are some things that belong to your life. God has earmarked them for your life. God has assigned them to your life. In fact, God has assigned them to you so much so that it's called your own. It is your own. It is your own. It is your own, but it's not with you. You understand? It is your own, but it's not with you. Yeah. Sometimes it is your advice. Yeah. Even sometimes it is whom to marry. A lot of you who are married, you met the person you married through somebody. Yeah, somebody had to help you. Somebody said, "Come and meet my friend." Yeah, and then when they meet the friend, they realize they like the friend more than you. And then, that is it. Solomon, I just heard your name. Amen. Yes. So if this is what this verse means, then it means quarreling with people can be one of the most foolish things to do. Because when you quarrel with people, when you cut off people, you are potentially cutting off that which is your own. You are cutting off that which is your own.
Wow.
But you don't know it. And yesterday I was telling you that when you lose something before you get it, you don't know what you've lost. Do you understand? So you continue to move around, but you don't know that you have really lost something. Yeah. Heaven will be full of surprises. When you get to heaven and the Lord draws a curtain and says, "Come and see. Come and see all the things that belong to your life, which you could not experience, which you could not enjoy because of your obnoxious behavior." Hey. cannot get along with anyone, cannot relate with anyone, will not relate with anyone, will not flow with anybody. Hey! You have no idea what it is costing you.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you following what I'm sharing with you? Yes. It is a very expensive life to live and to say that I don't want anybody in my business. You don't know that you actually don't have much of a business without others. Yes. That you actually do not have much of a business without others. Yeah. Nobody knows it all. And nobody has it all. Do you understand? You see, my hand, my fingers, I mean, they work really well, but I tell you, they need to be connected to my wrist to do what they do very well. Do you understand? Yeah. If my elbow, my arm, my wrist freezes, you know, even though this one is working, it's very, very limited in what it can do because it's disconnected to this one. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. It is so important that we understand that we need each other to make it. I need you. You need me. Do you understand? Yeah. I need you. You need me. Even the person, the remotest person, the one whose life does not appear to run into yours at all. Even that person. I tell you. The poor need the rich. And the rich need the poor. Yes. The one who can cook. After you finish cooking, you need people who are hungry. Yes. Yes, you may be surprised that my hunger is your blessing. Yes. You are blessed that I'm hungry. So bring what you've cooked, let me express myself.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. Look, one of the most painful things is to cook and not find people to eat it. Yes. I know one of the ladies, her main, she likes to cook. And her husband has a baby stomach. You know. I tell you, the main quarrel in their house is the husband doesn't eat enough. That's the main quarrel in the house. If she makes anything, I mean, it's going to be there for days. You know, and sometimes she's upset. She wants to throw the food away so she can cook some more.
Wow.
Gosh.
Wow.
Life is fantastic, isn't it? Because you have some homes to is the opposite. Hey. If you see food today, you will not see food for another long time to come. Hey. The pizza delivery man has a room in your house. Hallelujah. Isolation is evil. I said isolation. Tell your neighbor, isolation is evil. Tell that person, you need me and I need you. Yeah. Amen. It is only pride that makes a person feel like I don't need you. Yeah. Is bigness. Yeah, that makes someone feel that I don't need you. You can look at somebody and say, to hell with you. If you are humble, you don't talk like that. Yeah, and if you know life, You don't talk like that. You don't look at somebody and say, clear off, I don't need you. Yeah. The way life is, the way life can rearrange itself. Suddenly, those who are up will be down. Those who are down will be up. That is real life. You have to be around long enough to see how this whole game works. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's good to be nice to people, especially to poor people. When you meet poor people, don't shoo them off. Be nice to them. Be kind to poor people. It will be a blessing for you that you are kind to poor people.
Amen.
Don't be wicked and insensitive to poor people. Because often there's just a step.
Yeah.
That's just keeping you from trading places. Hallelujah. How many can understand what I'm saying? Yes. So I want to encourage you people in this church to really realize that each other is important.
Amen.
We are all important and we must get along with one another. Hallelujah. We must get along with one another. We must not allow demons to have an advantage. Sometimes you go to a church and the church is overrun by evil spirits. Yeah, the church is completely overrun by evil spirits.
Bind them in Jesus' name.
But they will not have victory here in the name of Jesus. I said demons will not have victory in this church. Amen. So walk in love towards one another. Make each other important to you. Amen. If you don't see a brother or sister for some time, you must go look for them. Because you need them. They may be carrying that which is your own. See, that's why the Bible says, if you have not been faithful, if you have not been faithful, you know, put the word reliable in place of faithful. It says, if you have not been reliable or faithful or constant in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Wow. It means also that there are some things that are with you that actually belong to another man. Do you understand? That, for example, all of your time is not for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, but some people feel, even you see the way there's, don't waste my time, eh? You're warned, don't waste my time, eh? You see, but you need to understand that some of your time is actually for somebody else. Yeah. Some of your time is not for you. Some of your money, even though you worked and earned it, it came to you, but it's not for you. It's not for you. It's not for you.
Yeah.
It's not for you.
Yeah. I just have to talk to you.
Yeah. Some people try to keep 100% of whatever they have for themselves. But you need to understand that some of the things you have, they are not for you. Yes. Even some of your shoes and your clothes, they are not for you. Yes. Yes. But your greed has made you comfortable. Yes. Now you don't have any space to walk around, even in your house. There's no space. There is no space. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we going to overcome the spirits? In Jesus' name. So, learn to resent isolation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isolation makes you vulnerable. It makes you vulnerable. It makes you susceptible to being consumed by the evil one.
Wow.
Do you understand? An evil thing will happen to you when you are alone. Hallelujah. We need people in our lives. We need counsel in our lives. The Bible says you must wage war with good counsel. Do you understand? It says purposes are disappointed where there is no counsel. But where there is good counsel, there is safety. Amen. So God wants you to have good counsel. Expose yourself to good counsel so that you can be helped by His grace. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can you see that? He says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What does this mean? Obviously, not everybody is devourable. That is why he has to walk around to find who is the devourable one. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, if he's walking as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It means not everybody he meets is devourable. But some people are devourable. Do you understand? And one of the criteria for determining the devourables is loneliness, solitude. When people are by themselves. Do you understand? Some of you who suffer from constant, repetitive bouts of depression. One of the cures to that is having people around you. Yeah. You're not relating enough with people. That is why you get so depressed. Do you understand? Everybody must have someone you can call and talk to for a long time. Yeah. About everything and about nothing. Yes. Everyone. Last night when I went home, I went to my room and I was sleeping. Let me call my wife. So I called her. She was, are you there? She said, yeah, I'm there. No, just talking. Then we became silent. And we were all on the phone sleeping on each other. We're just sleeping. Then, after about an hour or so, I checked. Are you there? So she says, oh, I'm here. Okay. Then we continue sleeping. You need somebody. Do you understand? Listen, I'm sharing a very important message with you. I hope you can see it. Look, as long as you can see that it is demons that took this man to a place of loneliness, then I want you to understand that no matter how you arrived at your place of loneliness, it is demons that have taken you there. Yeah, and if a demon takes you to a place, you have no future in that place. Yeah. Yeah.
What is deep?
Yeah. The Bible says he that must have friends must show himself friendly. See, and there are some of us, we are not friendly at all. Like, we want people to come and befriend us. But we are not friendly. Even we send you WhatsApp, you won't respond. I send you a text message, you won't respond. Oh, let me talk about it. Let me talk about it. Yeah. You see some single people who are hoping to enter a relationship or be married someday. Other single people are trying to make contact and just, they are not trying to marry you. They just want to get to know you. We send you texts, you won't respond. We make a phone call, we call you, you won't answer. You are standing next to your phone, and then you just look at it as the phone is ringing, and then you just stretch your neck and see who is calling. Then you just relax, and you hear the voicemail. I'm sorry, I'm not available to take your call. I'm right here. I am right here. I just don't want to talk to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't be alone. Don't walk alone. Because I tell you, you don't have it all. Do you understand? You have some of it, but you don't have it all. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have some of it, but you don't have enough of it. You can't go it alone. You're going to need someone to be with you. You're going to need someone to help you. No matter who you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how educated you are, no matter how uneducated you are, you're going to need somebody. You need somebody. Let that get into your head. You can't live in the tombs. You can't. There is no future for you in solitude. You cannot be by yourself. Amen. So show yourself friendly. Go out of your way to make friends. At the end of the service, don't just take your Bible and just stomp out of the church. Stay behind. Get to know people. Talk to people. Do you understand? Talk to people. Open up your life to people. Do you understand? Some people are excessively private. Excessively private. Do you understand? Yeah. And meanwhile, there's not much going on in your life except what can happen to human beings. Yes. What do you think about it? If I told you that I have a car, if I told you I have a car, then I say that my car has some, I just came from the garage. I took my car to the garage. I just came back. Can you not imagine that there's only a range of problems I must have gone there for? Like what? What do you think could be? I must have gone to do my brakes or oil change. Or alternator, or tune-up, or alignment, tires, transmission, catalytic converter, right. There's only a range of problems, You know that I didn't go to the garage because of my knee problem. Yeah, because cars don't have a knee problem. So you see, sometimes you think that you have a special problem and you don't want anybody to know about it. Do you see? But sometimes even looking at you, the problem is very obvious.
They're preaching good.
It's very obvious. You see a couple, they don't talk. They come to church, but they don't talk. It's private. It's private. But we all can see it.
We can see it fully.
Can see how a man is standing against the wall and the woman will just come and squeeze past. Don't touch me. Nice. Or the woman is talking to somebody and the man will come and say hello to the person. Say, I'll see you. Say, hey. We can feel the tension.
We can feel it.
You can only have marital problems because you are married.
It's not a mystery.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Rather, secrecy and privacy, they allow evils to multiply and flourish. Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of privacy, it makes evil flourish.
Yeah.
Yes. It just multiplies. I said, if we had a rat in this church, the rat will not be sitting here. This is not where it will be. When you come to service, you come and see a mouse just waiting for you guys to come in. That's not what will happen. It will be hiding in the dark places of the room. The dark parts of your life, the part that has no light, the part that is not visible to anyone, that is where the evils are, and that's where they multiply. But when you start to open up, you will soon start to see that you don't have any special problem. A long time ago, I was having an argument with my wife. We were in the house. Someone can relate with it. Yeah. We were in the house, we were having an argument, man. And I was so upset. So I called my friend, you know, and I told my friend, you can't even believe what Sarah is doing here. You should come and see her behavior in this place. Come and see what she's doing. In fact, I'm coming to your place. Then the guy said to me on the phone, said, Charlie, nowhere cool. Not knowing that at the same time that I was having my beef at home, he was having some situation at home. So when I was telling him I was escaping, I was coming to his house, then he said to me, you know, Charlie, nowhere cool. There is no cool place anywhere. Relax. Yeah? I believe that if you are more open with people, if you share more, you'll be refreshed. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yes. There's even refreshment in speaking without a solution. Yeah.
Yes.
Some problems, their treatment is just talking.
Yeah.
It's just, you just have to talk about it. Yeah. There's no real, in fact, you yourself know that there's no solution. As you are even talking about it, you are not expecting a solution. But it's refreshing to be able to talk. Yes.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. So that is why, especially if you're married to someone, allow them to talk.
Yeah.
Don't listen. No, seriously, listen. Do not tie people up. Do not tie people up with things like disrespect. Do you understand? It's like if you talk, it means you don't respect. No. Allow people to speak.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Allow people to speak. Speaking is the exit of matter that forms in a person's heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That is why we speak. We speak. And sometimes when you are speaking and it's like what your speech is not conveying the feeling fully and fast enough. That's when crying comes in. Do you understand? Yeah, where the thing cannot be said, it can only be cried out. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. We are talking about the activities of demons.
Yes.
Yes. And you see some people, they are going mental. From being full of things they want to say that they can't say. Do you understand? Yeah? And nobody should have to live like that. You should be able at least to say what is on your heart. Do you understand? You should be able to say. So if you are a good spouse, you must allow your spouse to talk. Yes. Allow them to talk. Doesn't mean you agree. You just say what you want to say. That is it. Do you get it? Yeah. You say what you have to say. Sometimes, you see, sometimes the reason why you have a lot of arguments is you don't let people talk. Do you get it? But sometimes you just have to keep quiet. Let the person say all the things. One day, one person called me. And then she started. Even the way she started on the phone. It's like she had so much to say, the whole thing was all disjointed and I couldn't understand what you're saying. So I said that, take your time, start again. Then she started to tell the story again. This second time it was a little clearer. Then I said, in fact, tell me again. You know, so she started saying the same thing for a third time. Then I picked a spot somewhere around the beginning of the story. Then I said, clarify this part. Start again. Then she told that part of the story again. Then the story was getting shorter and shorter. Each time she told it, it was now shorter and shorter. Do you get it? So at a point when I realized that she had let the whole thing out, and I asked her, so what do you think we should do about this? And he said, I wasn't really saying it to for you to do anything. I just wanted to. Yeah. It's therapeutic to let people talk. Just to let people speak. I mean, think about it. God didn't have to make us speak. He didn't have to make us speak. Do you understand? Yeah. But he made us able to talk. It must be something very valuable to our existence. It must have something. Hallelujah. Amen. So even those who are quiet, you see, let me tell you something. Just because you are born a certain way doesn't mean that that's the way you must be forever. Do you see what I'm saying? Or even better, just because you're a certain way doesn't mean it's the right way to be. Do you see what I'm saying? Often, people, when you find yourself a certain way, you have a certain loyalty to yourself. That because you are like that, it must be the right way to be. Do you understand? But you see, a lot of things have changed about you. Yeah? Since you were born, you see, your hair, this is not how it was when you were born. Isn't it? But you have improved it.
Yeah.
So the original one you came with is being changed to something else. You get it? The human being, when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says, he gave them, said they must dress it. They must dress it and keep it. The human being is supposed to improve.
Yeah.
We are supposed to improve on ourselves. Do you understand? So there are some things about you. You are like that. That's true. Nobody is condemning you for being like that. But we are saying that you can be better.
Amen.
Do you understand? Yes. You can be better. So you are naturally quiet. That's okay. But you can learn to talk. You can learn to talk. You can. Sometimes your quietness makes everybody nervous around you. Because no one knows what you are thinking. Do you see? Yeah, no one knows what you are thinking.
That's dangerous.
Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? So learn to talk. Learn to talk. Open your mouth and speak. Don't be afraid of anybody. Just speak. And be refreshed. Speak and be refreshed.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus is coming.
And if you don't want others to be quiet around you, then you must learn not to pick on the things they say. Which means that everything they say offends you. So they have to watch their words around you. That is a number one destroyer of relationships. Yes, because as I'm going to speak, if I speak right now, I will not finish my sentence before I'm in trouble. So I have decided that I will not say anything about anything anymore in this place. That is it.
Hey.
Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Look, forgiveness is the price you have to pay to keep relating with me. Do you understand? Yes. You have to. I don't mind being your friend, but it will cost you forgiving me often. Do you understand that? Yeah. I don't mind being your friend, and I want to be your friend. I'll be your friend the rest of your, so long as you pay the bills. The bill for your friendship with me is forgiveness. You must forgive me. Amen. If you want people in your life, you have to forgive them. Do you understand? All relationships continue until that bill is not paid. All relationships continue until they get to the place where somebody says, I'm not going to pay that bill. I will not forgive you. That's where it ends. And when you cut people off, you cut off everything God put them in your life to supply. Yeah. And yesterday I was telling you, relationships have to mature before they yield what they were supposed to yield. Do you see? If you cut the relationship off before it's even mature to yield what it was supposed to yield in your life, you don't even know what you have lost. But you don't know that a time is going to come, this person right here is going to be the most important person in your life. Can I have an amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So, he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do you understand? Which means that you are as offensive as others are. Isn't it? That is why you have to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Jesus is the one who taught us to pray that prayer. He said, pray that, you know, the rate at which I forgive you will be determined by the rate at which you forgive others. It means we're all equally offensive. Yes. See, it's your pride that makes you think that you are not a friend. You see, some people say, as for me, I'm very careful what I say. Yeah. But you just talk by heart. You tell me which one is better. The one who talks by heart means by the heart. Isn't that better? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. I want to encourage you guys to value one another.
Amen.
In this church. Amen.
Amen.
Value one another, and God is going to bless and reward you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to close by sharing with you very briefly. I want to show you how to overcome evil spirits and demons. Would you like to know that? Okay. Now, the primary way that you overcome evil spirits is to cultivate the presence of God around you. Do you understand? Now, when you go back to, this is a very beautiful verse, isn't it? A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Do you see? Then it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend, someone you met in church, who can be more to you than your own blood brothers and sisters. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Is there anyone who has experienced that already? You've met people in the church who have been to you more than what you can ask them for, what you will not dare ask your brother for. Yes. It's a blessing. Amen. But go back to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Right? It says, and the man had devils. And then verse 28. It says, and Luke 8:28, please. Luke 8:28. It's frozen. Okay. Notice, it says, when he saw Jesus, can you see that? The man had devils and he was in the tomb. But when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I beseech thee, torment me not. Do you understand? The demons in the person, when they saw Jesus, they were begging. They said, don't torment me. Do you understand? Not don't frighten me, not don't scare me, not don't bother me, but don't torment me. That your presence actually torments me. Do you get it? Your presence is torture for me. So please don't do it. Do you understand? When did the demons say that? When they saw Jesus. So it means if you want to have perpetual victory over demons, one of the things you have to do is to learn to keep his presence around you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You learn to keep the presence of God around you. Now, you keep the presence of God around you in two basic ways. One of them is by having the word of God around you all the time.
Amen.
Having the word of God around you all the time. It assaults demons and they don't like it. You see, when the demons are talking, you have to listen, because it is from their end that you get a lot of information about what is happening. Do you understand? If this demon had not spoken, we wouldn't have known that the presence of Jesus actually means torment for them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, there's another place in the Bible where you see the devil talking. Have you read the story of Job before?
Yeah.
Right. And then God told Job, he told the devil, have you seen my servant Job? And the devil said, oh yeah, I've seen him. And God said, did you notice that he's a very good guy? He hates evil. He doesn't like bad things and so on. And the devil said, yes, I noticed that. But do you think he's doing it for nothing? Then he started to list the benefits that have come to Job since he started serving God. This is from the devil. So it's the devil's list of benefits from serving God. He is telling us that, he said, look, since this guy started serving you, you've made a hedge around him. You've made a hedge around his house. You've made a hedge around his family and everything he has on every side. Do you understand? Then he says, you have blessed everything he has and his substance is greatly increased. This is the devil who is telling us. And you have to believe him. Do you understand? It's like the criminal telling you what stopped him from breaking you into your house. You better believe him. Do you understand? If the criminal, you see, once I saw a TV show where they were interviewing someone who said he was a career criminal. And he said he used to break into people's houses for a living. And then he was explaining to the people, they were asking him, you know, they asked him, how many homes have you broken into? He said, oh, well, over the course of my career, maybe about, and then just, yeah, that's what he lives by. And he was telling, that they had brought him on the show because he was giving people advice on the things that are signals to a thief that you are not home. You know, and one of the things he said was, he said one clear example is, when your garbage cans are still in front of your house long after the garbage truck is gone, it's a sign that you're not at home. You know, if he comes to drive in the neighborhood on the garbage day, and by evening your garbage cans are still out there, it's a sign that you're not there. Then he comes back the next day. If he comes in the morning and they're still there, it means it's an overnight trip. So that is how he targets your house. No, you can't get this easily from the police. Do you get it? This is information you can get from the one who is doing the thing itself. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you see the demons are the ones talking, you have to listen. You have to listen to the demon when he's talking and know what means something to him. And the demon said, your presence is torment for me. Do you understand? Yeah. So then what you have to do is to learn to keep the presence of God around you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the presence of God is carried by the word of God. When you keep the word of God around you, you keep his presence around you. That's one of the reasons why I play preaching all the time. Yeah, I have preaching playing in my room. Even sometimes when I'm not there, it's just playing. Do you see? And I just keep it playing. And I just keep it. I even have the Bible read onto a CD. It's a very common thing all around. Sometimes you just have to leave it playing. Do you get it? Just to have that sound in the background, because it keeps demons away. Do you understand? See, demons are very persistent. They are very persistent. The Bible says when demons go out of a place, they walk around through dry places. And when they cannot find rest, they say, I will return to my house. And then they come back to where they were before. So when demons leave people, they stop bothering people. They just go roam around and they'll come right back. So you need to keep a presence, a type of off, you know, off, the mosquito off. Yes, you need to, the type of off that keeps demons off. That is the word of God. Can I have an amen? Look at this, Mark chapter 1 and verse 23. Mark chapter 1 and verse 23. Mark 1:23. It says, and there was in their synagogue. There was in their synagogue. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Can you see that? There was in their synagogue. This was a church. Can you go to verse 22? If you go to verse 22, it says Jesus came. Oh, well, verse 21 says he came to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Do you see that? And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Do you understand? Because that was the word of God speaking, isn't it? Then verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. So you can be in the church and have an unclean spirit. Do you understand? Now when I say you be in the church and have a demon, most people will excuse themselves from it. That's why I prefer to say unclean spirit. Do you get it? Unclean spirit means that a spirit that is responsible for something unclean in your life. Then you realize that a lot of us fit in that category, isn't it? Yeah. Once you start to see the spirit behind the unclean thing in your life. Yeah. Unclean spirit. And he cried out. This is, Jesus is teaching. He's just teaching. The man with the unclean spirit, he cried out. What is verse 24? Saying, leave us alone. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? That means, what have we done to you? Do you understand? Then it says, thou Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? This is what the guy is just teaching. He's just teaching, and this is how the demons are reacting to. That's why I'm saying that when the demons talk, it is from the demons that you actually get the real effect of what you are doing. If you listen to the demons, you will understand the real effect of what you are doing on them. That teaching the word of God is equivalent to destroying them.
Wow.
That is how they feel. If you were to ask the demons, how do they feel about what I'm doing tonight? They don't like it. They don't like it. Yes. Especially that part where I was talking about isolation. I don't think the demons like it. I don't think they like it. Yes. They said that, look, have you come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. And oh, Jesus hasn't mentioned anybody's name. He's just teaching. And then the man with the unclean spirit says, hey, leave us alone. Leave us alone. I see demons leaving you alone. Leaving you alone. As you expose yourself to the word of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? As you expose yourself to the word of God, evil spirit, some of you who have regular bouts of depression, a time where a spirit of heaviness seems to descend on you. Do you get it? And you don't feel like talking to anybody. You know, even to your family members, you get into this foul mode. Do you see? And it's like, it's you can't even believe it's the same person. And it happens from time to time to time. It's an unclean spirit. It's an unclean spirit. And it doesn't matter that you're in the synagogue. You see, but it is also in the synagogue that you have your deliverance.
Amen.
Because it is in the synagogue that the teaching of the word of God is going on. And as it is going on, it sets you free. You will not be moody anymore. In the name of Jesus. I said you will not be moody anymore. In the name of Jesus. Yeah.
I sucked them into Job.
Yes. You are not going to have regular depression, unexplained sadness that just descends on you for no reason and stays, and you can't tear yourself away from it. The thing is just holding you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say you are set free tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. The word of God, the word of God, the word of God. The word of God, the word of God is going to set you free from demonic activity. Say amen.
Amen.
Then the second thing that's going to keep the presence of God around you is the music you play. The music that you play around you. The music that you play around you also affects evil spirits around you. Hallelujah. Right. Now, 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 14. We're just about to close, okay? We're just about to close, so. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 14. Okay? From verse 14. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat the king, I would not look toward thee. But now, look at it. It says, but now, bring me a minstrel. Bring me a singer. Bring me someone who can sing. Now, we're going to music, all right? Then it says, and it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Do you understand? Says, when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. Verse 16, what does it say? And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Right? So he says, and the music that was played moved the hand of God upon him. Do you understand?
Yes.
So perhaps in times of depression, the music that you play will bring the hand of God upon you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And when the hand of God comes upon you, the hand of the devil cannot stay on you at the same time. Yes. That is why in every church the devil has to mess up the music. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Every church, in every church, the most problematic part of the church is the music people. Yeah. 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 No, I'm telling you. I know it. In every church. Because the devil understands this is what brings the hand of God upon people. Do you understand? This is what brings the hand of God upon people. So if you're a music person in the church, you have to be very careful. Do you understand? You have to be very careful because once the devil cuts you off, he's able to cut off, suspend the hand of God that comes upon people. Do you understand? Yes. That's from playing. That's when the minstrel played. When the minstrel played. Not when the minstrel prayed. Did you see that? Yeah, but many of you have more faith in a prayer than in a song. Do you understand? Yeah. You would rather go for prayers and very quickly go and kneel down and just somebody pray for. But you don't understand that the music that you are playing, you get. And some of you, you see, you come to church and they pray for you, but after that, you usher yourself into another kind of music. Do you see? That brings a different presence around you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. In the name of, I want to play some music from my country. I miss home. Then you start to play certain songs. And as you are playing some of these songs, you are bringing a presence around you. You get it? Let me show you another one. Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 5. Second Chronicles chapter 5. And verse 13, look at this one. Second Chronicles chapter 5. It says, and it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Can you see that? And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Do you understand? They were playing a song that said, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That then, the house was filled with a cloud. Do you understand? Then it says, even the house of the Lord. So what he's saying is the house was filled with a cloud because of the song that was being played. So could it be that your house is filled with something because of the songs you are playing in your house? Because now he's telling us, listen, the house was filled with a cloud. Then he explains that in this case, it was the house of the Lord we're talking about. But perhaps in your case, it's your house. The house of Jasmine. The house of Susan. Do you understand? The house of Romeo. Maybe that's what we're talking about. And it says the house was filled with a cloud. Listen, if you are spiritually sensitive, sometimes you can tell that the atmosphere in your house has changed. Yes. You can tell that it's like something has come to join you in the house. Yes. Sometimes unexplained quarrels. I mean, you were just playing with your wife a short while ago. Suddenly, Everything has changed. There's so much tension. One thing somebody said. But it is because a cloud has come into the house. A cloud has come into the house. Yeah. Hallelujah. So everybody needs to invest in good spiritual music. Hallelujah. Play it in your car. Play it in your house. Play it in your room. If you're allowed to play it in your office, play it in your office. But keep a combination of good preaching and good Christian spiritual music will keep demons away from you. Yeah. Yeah. It is the equivalent of off from mosquitoes. Yeah. If you want to repel evil spirits, play spiritual music. Yeah, play spiritual music. Because if music causes a cloud to fill the house, it means demons and evil spirits respond to music. You know, like one more thing. Maybe there's just... First Samuel, chapter 16. Look at it. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. This is the last scripture. I promise you, it's the last one. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Where's 1 Samuel, please? Chapter 16. From verse 14. Look at it. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. You see, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Then it says, then an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Do you understand? Evil spirit from the Lord, because it's like God has allowed it. Do you understand? So the Spirit of the Lord left him, and then an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, verse 15. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now, an evil spirit from the Lord troubleth thee. Verse 16. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a psychiatrist. No. He says, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon you, that he shall play with his hand. Can you see that? And thou shalt be well. Wow! The power of anointed music. When the evil spirit is upon you, you get it? He said that he will play with his hand and you will be well. Do you get it? Wow. So then verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Right. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, which is thy son, which is with the sheep. Right. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. Verse 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me. He has found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, look at this, it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Hallelujah! Can you see that?
Yes.
Yes. Evil spirits respond to music. Yes. They respond to music. I tell you, if music can play them out, music can play them in. Do you understand? Yeah. If music can make... You get it? It's like a traffic light. There's one of them that makes cars stop. Then on that same thing, there's another one that makes cars go. Do you understand? So you see, if music can just make them go this way, You know, music can also make them that way. So sometimes your music is what is bringing you depression. You don't understand it. But the songs you've been playing in your house, do you understand? They are affecting the atmosphere in your house. They are making you quarrelsome. They are setting your husband on edge. They are setting you, your children. They are inspiring rebellion in your children. You cannot get the connection because the connection is not obvious. Do you understand? But we are talking about spiritual things. The connection is not obvious. But the music that is around you is generating rebellion. Yes. It's bringing tension. It's setting you on edge, and the slightest thing makes you tip over. But you don't know that it's the songs. Do you understand? Sometimes you need to shut off the television. Yes. You need to. You try. Try. Sometimes you hear the television talking. You know, one day I was lying in a couch somewhere. And then I was lying. It was an afternoon. I was lying in a couch somewhere and I was sleeping. Then I thought I was having some kind of a dream or something. But in the dream, there seemed to be like a spirit that was coming out of the television into the house. Do you see? It's like I was sleeping, and you know how you're having a dream that mixes up with what is going on. You see the thing? Yes. And then I remember I was having a nightmare, and then when I woke up, I realized that the television was on and were playing a certain song. So I shut it off. And that revelation, I've never forgotten it, because by that I understood that you invite evil spirits into your house by playing certain kinds of music in that house. Amen. So be careful. Do you understand? Be careful. Don't lose good things that God has given you because you surround yourself with an evil presence. Do you understand? Someone can pray for you, and they pray for you, whatever the prayer accomplishes. But when you leave the prayer and you go and put yourself in that atmosphere again, it rebreeds that same situation. Do you understand? And your crisis is recreated. Do you understand? God's plan is for you to have joy, and for you to have joy more abundantly. Do you understand? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. There is no reason why he must be in your life and you don't have peace. How can you have the Prince of Peace in your heart and not have peace? It only means two things. It's either he is not the Prince of Peace or he's not in your heart. But if he's in your heart, you must have peace. No matter what is going on around you, you must have peace. He is the one that wakes up in the middle of the storm and says, "Peace, be still. I'm here. Peace." Do you understand? It doesn't mean peace does not require everything to be working around you to exist. You can have peace even in the midst of the storm. You have peace. So peace comes from Christ. And he intends for you to have peace. Don't sell out your peace to demons and to evil spirits. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I see God delivering us from demonic attacks and demonic influences. In the name of Jesus, every demonic influence is cut off tonight. In the name of Jesus, every demonic work in any life here tonight is terminated. In Jesus' name, stand to your feet tonight and let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of you are going to watch your music from now on? Yes. You must not allow certain songs to be played in your presence. Hallelujah. You know, in today's world, in today's world, it's very easy to have good music around you. All you have to do is to go to YouTube, find one good song, and then select 50 plus, and it will just play songs like that for you. And they will just keep playing it. Do you understand? Yeah, there is no reason why you must have evil spirits where you are. Do you understand? Yes, there's no reason why you must have them. God wants you to enjoy your marriage. God wants you to enjoy your children. God wants you to enjoy your home. God wants you to enjoy your church. Amen. But demons want you not to enjoy it. They want to harass you and to make sure that you don't get what God has offered to you, but you're receiving what God has prepared for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bow your heads, everybody, and start praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Maka molo mushatari ala babaya. Mikodo sendari ala baba. Mushakata malande. Bala shokotori ala mamose kahala babala mamashakafa. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. While we're praying tonight, if you're here tonight and you're saying, Pastor, I want you to pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe someone invited you here, or you know in your heart that you're not born again. That if you were to die today, you don't know if you go to heaven or you go to hell. I want you to be sure about your eternal destiny. So I want you to raise up your right hand if you're here, and I'm going to pray for you. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior tonight. You want Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to come and live in your heart. Tonight, raise up your hand. You want your sins to be forgiven. Tonight, is there anybody here like that tonight? God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? You want to give your life to Jesus tonight? Or you've given your life to Jesus before, but you know in your heart that you've not been serious. You get it? You've not been consistent with it. You've not followed through with it. And God wants to help you tonight, to restore you and to give you a chance to start afresh tonight. Is there anybody here like that who wants to start afresh with God tonight? Raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Just raise up your right hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We're talking about you and God, your relationship with God. Is there anybody here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right. Now, if your hand is up and you are serious, I want you to come to me in the front. Just meet me right here. I'll pray for you. Just come. Let's pray together right here. God bless you, brother. Let's pray together. I want everybody just to join me as we say this prayer together. Brother, just say this prayer after me. Everybody else, let's say this together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart
that you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth
God raised you from the dead.
Come into my heart.
Forgive my sins.
Cleanse me from unrighteousness.
And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Put your hands together for him. Hallelujah. Now, one more prayer. I want to pray for some people tonight. You're here tonight and you are one of those who can admit honestly that you struggle to relate with people. Somehow you don't get along with people. It's a struggle for you to live at peace with people for a long time. And you want God to help you. You know, this is a very special invitation. It's not for everyone, but it's for somebody or some people here. And God wants to help you. If you're that person, I want you to come. Just come very quickly. You struggle to get along with people. It's such a struggle for you And God wants to help you tonight. God wants to help you. Just come closer to me. Yes. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I also want to pray for people who have disrupted relations with others. Someone used to be your friend, they are no longer your friend. You used to get along with someone, but something happened and things have changed between you and that person. So what it means is that you're going to miss out on everything that God put them in your lives to do. And that is something that you must not let go. And so I want to pray for you also. So if you have a relationship with someone that is disrupted, I want you to come and receive a prayer tonight. Just come and join everybody. Just make some space for them. Just come. You have relationships with people which is not like it should or used to be before. The relationship is disrupted. Something happened, and since that time, everything has changed. But God wants to help you tonight. I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to make this very quick. I want to just pray for you very quickly in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for your sons and for your daughters in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands. Those of you in front, just lift up your hands to the Lord. Now, God is just telling me one thing. That he will help you, he will deliver you, but on one condition, that you must be willing to forgive, that you must be willing to let go. Because the reason why this whole thing has power over you is because of the peace you're holding that you're not letting go. And as long as you're holding onto that peace, the devil will have an advantage over you. But tonight, if you are prepared to let go of your peace of it, the bit that depends on you. I know they hurt you. It hurts so bad. But the solution is still the same. As long as you continue to walk in unforgiveness, you give them power over you. As long as you continue to hold it against them, you empower them over you. You give the past power over your present. And that is certainly going to disrupt your future. But tonight, right here at this altar, you can let it go. You can take a decision. You can choose to agree with God tonight. Instead of agreeing with your feelings, instead of agreeing with your thoughts, instead of agreeing even with the other person, because sometimes the other person is the problem. But instead of agreeing and responding to the other person, decide to agree with God. Just say, Lord, help me to let go. Sometimes it hurts so bad. Sometimes you feel so betrayed. You feel so hurt by the person that you can't see how you can let go. But that's exactly where God comes in. That is exactly where God comes in. God is going to help you to let it go. But you must be willing to give it up. You must be willing to give it up. Just keep your hands up. Just keep your hands up and say, Lord, I surrender. Just give it all to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for grace. Grace to let go. Grace to let go. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. Give her grace to let go. Set her free in the name of Jesus. Yes. I break the power of this thing over your life in the name of Jesus. This thing that has so hijacked your life. In the name of Jesus, tonight is the last night that you're going to continue to have this struggle. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. In the name of Jesus. 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 Yes. Let it go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.